So the last part that I'm going to do here, and then we'll finish any questions that people have, is there's five mistakes that I go through in the book. And we only have, like, looking at my clock, about 12 or 13 minutes to go through them. So I'm going to go through somewhat quickly. I would recommend, I'd recommend getting the book and reading it, print the book out and read it with your lover on a regular basis and enjoy making the mistakes. Because once you can identify them, then that means you're in a place where you can actually start making a change. Until you can identify that you are making these mistakes, you don't even know that they're happening. And yet, there's this thing going on in the relationship where all of a sudden the intimacy is disappearing and the amount of trust that happens is disappearing. I'll read one of the questions somebody wrote for me, for us, from the UK. It says, my boyfriend and I have spent 4 years going around in circles. Every time I do something he doesn't like, he ends the relationship. And now I live in fear that when I put a foot wrong, say something or do something he doesn't like, he will end the relationship. He always comes back, so I know he cares, but we can't keep going in circles. This has happened 20 or 30 times. What can I do to bring love into the relationship and get us closer together? I am starting to feel like breaking up for good is the only option, as I am so exhausted by the emotional roller coaster. P.S. Will there be a recording? Yes, there will be a recording. And so, how do you deal with this? It's like looking, how do you become powerfully vulnerable in the relationship so that someone can express their pain and confusion without pulling away? Because if you look at all communication is either an act of love or a cry for help. And if you think about this guy pulling out of the relationship, what he's doing is a cry for help. Now, his strategy is not that effective because what he's doing is sending his beloved into fear. And that's not what you want to do. The level of intimacy in a relationship, like the intimacy between me and Julianne, when she could pull away when she needed to and do something that was a little scary and painful for me, but knew that it didn't damage the relationship, the level of intimacy and trust went way up.
Yeah.
And so what this guy is doing is by him pulling away, if I said to you, Julianne, if I said, no, if you don't let me come tonight, then I'm just driving back to Denver. You may have let me show up that night, but it would have structurally damaged the relationship and our trust.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so it's like,
and I could have had a lot of anger and resentment and been in an old pattern of self-sacrifice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And the opposite of self-love.
Yeah. So if I look at it without making somebody bad, stupid, wrong, making the guy wrong or the woman wrong in this, people are always doing the best they can with the tools they have. So what I would suggest is that the two of you go to a workshop and start getting the tools. Now, if he won't go, which often is the case, sometimes the men are a little slower than the women in this particular area, go and learn for yourself. As you become more powerful, those tools will become less effective against you, or manipulation will become less effective against you to get you to do what they want. And they're going to have to either step up or lose you, because as you become more powerful and your self-esteem becomes greater and greater, you'll see how valuable you are as a human being. And you won't be interested in a relationship where someone uses that form of communication manipulation. So my recommendation, take some courses. Start training yourself in relationship communication and become more powerful in your communication about what's going on. And also be able to communicate with him and find out what is so scary to him that he would end the relationship, or at least threaten to. So can you stay with him in a compassionate way and meet him there and understand him? And it would be fun at some point in a future one to do a role play where I get to show you how to do both of those, so you can meet somebody who's threatening to end the relationship and meet them with compassion and understanding. And sometimes it doesn't always get met right away. I had a relationship that ended, and I just kept showing up with compassion and sending compassionate emails and stuff. And there was a point where she said, "I've no more communication." And so I stopped even that. And tonight, it's very interesting, tonight before the call, she called me to thank me for the things that we had had in the relationship and to just be a gentle spirit and that I didn't get upset or it hurt, it was painful, but I stayed compassionate. I communicated in a way that I would want someone to communicate to me. And that takes a lot of courage and commitment. And I did it almost more for me than for anyone else, because that's who I want to be as a human being. And I hope that makes sense. Anything else you want to add?
The wonderful quote by Gandhi, right, Paul? "Be the change you wish to see in the world." How we are being, what we're doing, is what we're teaching in the world, or what we're inviting others to do, whether it be more directly or indirectly. Yeah. Consciously or unconsciously. So you were inviting this former partner to be in the focus of appreciation of all that you experience with one another, to stay in a loving, kind connection in the midst of the change of the form of the relationship. And you kept being loving and kind and an appreciation of her, and she stepped forward and joined you in that.
Yeah, which was very powerful, and it's sweet, and it adds more love on the planet. And we talk about big love. It's like, you know, that's what I want. May all my previous partners go out having their lives improved. I know that my life is improved, and my relationship with Julianne is improved because of the gifts that I was given by former partners. You know, I've grown and learned, and that's how I think I'd like it to be on this planet. So
we can view our past partners as, or our lovers' past partners, as threats. We can be insecure. We can be jealous. That's pretty much the norm. Or we can choose big love.
Yeah.
Which would be, oh, thank you. I've had many moments of feeling insecure or feeling threatened by Paul's past lovers. Just my conditioning. It's just old stuff. I make a conscious choice as an adult, mature woman now, to be in gratitude. To be very, very thankful, very grateful for all of these women, because they've all contributed to who Paul is today, which to me is such an incredible, amazing man and such a beautiful, incredible partner in my life. And it still comes up. And
yeah.
I'm pretty certain that, well, my sense is for the rest of this lifetime, perhaps, there still may be moments of the old conditioning coming up, the ego, the small mind, as some refer to it, of feeling jealous or insecure or threatened by past partners. But I choose to, when that comes up, turn my attention away from that to my conscious choice of being in appreciation, my practice of being in gratitude. Very thankful for all of these women.
And it goes both ways. I don't want to say that I've got that figured out. There's still moments of fear or jealousy. And if there is, and I go to Julianne, I go as, it's not that she made me feel this way. It's like, this is my old conditioning, and right now I'm feeling scared. Would you be with me for a minute? Would you be compassionate right now? And it's been an incredible gift. You know, I'm being powerfully vulnerable. I'm owning that it's, you know, my stuff. It's not that she did something wrong, and she will, or always has, at least so far, met me with total compassion in the same way I want to meet her when this comes up. Rather than saying, oh, you shouldn't be afraid, it's like, that's not compassion. That's something else. That's not meeting someone where they're at. To meet her where that she's at, or have her meet me where I'm at, wow, what an incredible gift that is in a relationship. So we're actually at the edge of the time here, almost a minute over. I'm not going to have time tonight. I chose to follow a different flow than my normal flow, so I'm not going to go through all the five mistakes, but I will at a future call. What I'd like to do is, there was one last question that somebody had that written in, and I'd like to respond to that, and actually maybe, Julianne, you could respond to it by telling them about our nightly exercise. So let me read the question so you know what you're responding to. And it says, I'd like some tips on how to keep falling in love again and again with the same person and how to keep myself connected and available for them to do the same. Thanks. So what I was thinking is that our nightly exercise is one way of doing that. I'd like to hear if you've got some other ways too.
Well, to share in regards to that, so Paul and I have a commitment and agreement, very happily choosing this agreement to, every night before we go to sleep, we review the day and we tune in and see if there's any undelivered communication. If there's anything that's happened throughout the day where we were upset, where there was some conflict and we didn't fully share our upset, we didn't get closure with any upset that we had. And then, was there any undelivered communication on the more quote-unquote positive side if we didn't fully express our love or appreciation for one another? And then that ties into the second part of the practice, which is we choose to share at least three things before we go to sleep that we have appreciated about one another during the day. So this is a practice to regularly clean up, get closure on any upset or conflict as quickly as possible. Very distinct from the norm. So much conditioning to just sweep things under the rug and carry upset for extended periods of time, causing more and more deterioration of beautiful love connections of all sorts. As Paul regularly says, relationships don't end because of a lack of love, usually, but because of a lack of tools or skill. So to put relationship in the analogy of a garden, a relationship being a garden, we want to regularly pull the weeds out, right, daily. Notice any weeds that are coming up and pull them out as quickly as possible. And we want to pour in lots of love, lots of light, energy, fuel, right? What do we want to do? What do we need to do to create and maintain the most beautiful garden? We have to regularly pull out the weeds, and we have to regularly provide love, light, water, nutrients, nourishment for the garden. So that's our focus. We choose to create and maintain and expand the most beautiful garden of relationship possible. So again, at the end of each day, we just share anything of upset. We make sure we get clear or closure on any upset or conflict, and we pour in a lot of love and appreciation. At least three things that we've really appreciated about one another throughout the day.
And it's a wonderful,
been an
practice.
Incredible, incredible gift to our relationship.
Yeah, and there's one other tip that I'd like to actually prompt Julianne to say, but it's been an incredible gift for me. Is discovering about Tantra and what it is and the impact. And I'm saying here, there's, Tantra is a huge thing. I'm not the expert in it, but the area that it's had the biggest impact on me is the area of lovemaking and intimacy and sexuality, being able to connect and fall in love with my partner much more deeply and richly using that as a practice. And I don't know if there's any recommendation you can make, Julianne, or even a description of what it is, since you're trained, and I'm getting trained.
Well, I will share in a nutshell. The Tantra way, the Tantra path, is regularly giving ourselves the experience, the support for mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and sexually. empowering ourselves, giving ourselves relaxation, healing, transformation, greater pleasure, greater awareness, and support for all aspects of us to come back to being more fully connected or integrated. So it's just within our human experience, we regularly get shut down. We regularly get contracted, disempowered on any and all levels. Again, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, and sexually. That's okay. No problem. We just want to keep re-empowering, reawakening, re-enlivening ourselves, and coming back to connection, integration amongst all aspects of ourselves. Tantra is a huge body of knowledge and practice with many different teachers and lineages all around the world. The main teacher with whom Paul and I have studied is Charles Muir, a very highly acclaimed, internationally known Tantra teacher of over 30 years, about 32 years now, and he's written a beautiful, powerful book entitled Tantra, The Art of Conscious Loving, a very rich, wonderful Tantra book that's also a relatively quicker, easier read. And so for anyone interested in the world of Tantra, to anyone with the desire to have a richer, more fulfilling, intimate, pleasurable experience of life with everyone and everything we choose to engage with, I invite you to explore further in this world. And I am a certified Tantra educator with the Source School of Tantra, Charles Muir School. There are many different ways in which one can explore, experiment further. Many, many wonderful books, many wonderful teachers, and I am very honored, feel very blessed to be one of those teachers in the world.
Yeah. So, I want to thank everybody. Julianne and I are going to be doing some trainings. I think the first one's going to be in Santa Fe, so keep your eyes open. It may actually be April 1st. That's our tentative date. So, there will be more announcements on that, and it will be really about exploring this whole area of letting big love lead, and how do you communicate compassionately, courageously, consciously with the people you love and care about. And there was another group that really touched me, is how do people communicate with their children? It has a huge impact communicating this way, to do that with their kids. I've seen wonderful, wonderful things happen there.
I'm sorry, Julianne. I'm the person who has a question about what to do to stop the bleeding, and I feel like I don't have an answer for that. It's
okay.
You know, the point is that in the middle of both people being activated, it's very hard to ask what would love do right now. Like, those are really good questions when you're not activated, but when you're in the middle of it. You know, Paul, you're a kayaker, so I remember reading that whole, when the kayak tips, there's like a mantra, right? Like knees to nose,
yeah,
or some kind of
exactly.
thing where it's automatic. I want to know your recommendation for that automatic thing, because it's very hard to shift into big love in that moment. So what I really mean in the moment, so that it doesn't create further activation, is do you say, we need to stop, I need to remove myself. And sometimes removing yourself, if you're both being six-year-olds, I'm afraid will make it worse. It'll make the six-year-old even more upset. You know, so I guess I'm looking for the thing that stops the bleeding but doesn't potentially create more activation. I mean, and I guess that you have an agreement, like there's a code word, but I want to know what you think works best in
that
moment. Yeah.